We got bored, so we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the band that you love, we love, and they have 9 studio albums. Yeah, that's what I said. 9. We're going to talk about the new 9th one today. And hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike on the mic, and I can talk hold steady all night. And whenever I want to talk hold steady heavy, I go all the way to the East Coast, all the way to the unified scene's very own King of Queens, to Gasper. Gasper, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm real excited for this flashcast we're doing for the new record. Let's say hello to our third mic and our producer, Kevin Is Whenever. How's it going, man? What do you think about this record? You digging it?
Oh, I'm digging it. I was delayed getting on a plane last night and listened to it a bunch while I was waiting for my plane to actually land in Las Vegas to come back to New York City. But I'm very impressed. I have a lot to say about this one. I think this is going to be a fun little flashcast for record number 9 by the Hold Steady, as referenced earlier, The Price of Progress, out everywhere today. Band celebrating 20 years and sound as fresh and vital as ever to me. This is probably one of my favorite later albums by the Hold Steady.
All right, so just to give you a little idea of what we're looking to do, we're just looking to give you a quick take of our impression of this record. We're going to do a more intensive episode in about a week. And we're hoping to gather some clips from you guys with your thoughts. So we'd like to get some listener input. We'll tell you a little bit about that towards the end of the show.
So Kevin liked it. Gasper, what did you think about it?
I'm really digging it. My initial thought, and we talked a little bit about this as we got songs over time, is like the first half of the record feels like, you know, like I know this record, and then the second half is just like, this is all new. and I like that it played out that way. I think I spent a lot more time on the second half of the record as I was listening to it. But before we even get into that, like Grand Junction, now hearing it studio version full force, like it's just such a big song, man. It's a great opening song for the record. Like that's what stuck in my head, is like it's just a large sound to it, man. Like, what do you guys think?
I think it's, yeah, like you said, large sound. I mean, they have the horns bubbling underneath, you know. It's like we've seen how many people they have on stage, and you can almost hear them all on the album. I think there's a lot of soundscapes in this album, yet I still think it's very concise. I think it's pretty short. I mean, we talked about the time before, but it goes by rather quickly. And I think it's a very concise, very consistent album. And I dug it a lot.
I was going to say, what you said is really true, because as I was listening to it last night, because the first 5 songs we've had basically at some point, either as an early release or that they've played live, it feels like you know it. And it's funny listening to the studio version of Sideways Skull, which we've had for some time, but I mean, it feels like a sequestered in Memphis. It feels like a song that they could play every show if they want to, and they've played it a lot live, but hearing it in sort of the sequence of the way they intended you to hear the album really does a lot. And I, as somebody who wasn't a fan out of the box of Understudies, hearing it in the sequence, the way it was intended, it actually fits. And I actually do enjoy the song way more now coming off those first 3 songs before it than I did sort of as a standalone. Here, just have a song to digest in the meantime.
I agree with you. I think it definitely fits well on the record where it is. And it's almost like Grand Junction kind of sets the thesis for the record, because there are a lot of songs on here that are not your typical Hold Steady. They're still Hold Steady songs, but they're not exactly what we've heard before. And a lot of that is that they've expanded the sound. They're taking advantage of the fact that there are so many members now, and we do have a horn section that we can use, and that's all here. And like, even some of the stuff that we touched on with when we talked about like how the funk feel of understudies, like elements of that is present elsewhere on the record, where it's like there's not funk but a different style, like there's bluesier parts to the songs, and there's Franz just has such a bigger part, I think, than he has in the past on the record. It's not keyboard fills, it's like parts that are setting the tone for the whole song, you know?
Yeah, and I noticed, I was kind of looking at the writers of the songs, and Franz was kind of listed as a co-writer on, I don't know, it's got to be about half of them.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, I really feel his presence, and his songs are like, kind of like, what do we got here? Distortion of Faith, he's one of the co-writers on, City at 11. His songs kind of seem like they're songs that have many layers to them. Like, there's like a lot of story to unpack, right. A lot of soundscapes to unpack on them.
It's funny too, because those two songs you did mention, though, to me stood out because they're a little more explorative sonically with the band, and sort of they're not as straightforward melodically. There's some moves and notes where they get into some real sort of almost abrasive at time melodies, but it works for them. Like the keyboard is in a weird thing that's sort of not really in sync with the guitars, and then you have his vocal come over and it brings it all together. And it's something that the Hold Steady does incredibly well. And after 20 years listening to these 10 songs, as we said, like 39 minutes, it never feels like there's a song on this record that I'm just going to fly by. Like, oh, this doesn't work, because as a complete start to finish, and it really is a testament to how good Grand Junction is, and then into Sideways Skull, into Carlos is Crying, and then into Understudies. Like, when it was coming to Understudies for me personally, knowing how much I didn't like it as a standalone, I was like, oh, but then as I started to hear it, and then when you go right from that into Sixers, which is a song I did love, it all just kind of, it felt really, really solid to me. And, you know, we didn't mention Flyover Halftime, but as a guy who goes to live sporting events, that song just stood out. And I loved everything about that song. The lyrics and everything was a great, great way to finish.
That's
going to
be a fan favorite too. You could just hear it.
It's a fan favorite for me because my two worlds are colliding. I get the Hold Steady and On-Field Football Security mentioned in a Hold Steady song. So I can die now as a happy Hold Steady fan. So
so now, like, speaking of fan favorites, like you brought up Sideways Skull, I think that's going to be the obvious choice of, like, that's the Chips Ahoy of this record, right? It's the one that everyone definitely is going to latch on to. They are going to play it a lot. It's going to be a favorite. What's your favorite track on the record?
Tough. I mean, I'll give an answer now, but don't expect by the time that we don't go deeper into it that it doesn't change just because I haven't lived with it to the extent. But I will say on the first listen,
all the time.
I know. I will say on the first listen, though, like, straight through and not having a live version, Perdido really stood out to me as one of the ones I love. Like, and I know they played it, but I had only heard it live. But the recorded version really was nice to hear the way they intended it in the studio, and not some of the ambient air and noise that you get from the live version at the shows.
Right. Okay. How about you, Mike?
I really love Carlos's Crying and Understudies. Those songs just hit me in a really good spot. I just love them. But like Kevin said, Perdido's awesome. The song that's really looking to get into is Distortion of Faith. I think that one's got a really, can we talk about the story in that one? I think it's a band that goes to play in a hostile country and then kind of gets chased off before they have a chance to play. Is that how you guys read it? That's how I'm reading it.
That's one of the ones I'm still kind of unpacking.
Yeah, that's one of the Franz really thick.
I get it. And knowing that it was a Franz-written song and all that is going on with Ukraine and how involved he was with them and the country at war, like, it really almost feels like, I don't know if it's a personal narrative for the band, but I do agree, like, there's this concert that was supposed to be for the people that then all of a sudden gets canceled before, and you know, protesters are there, and there's, like, this whole thing before, like you said, before the band even gets on the stage, and it sort of ends with, well, we made it out of there, and like whoever the storyteller is like taking like aspirin almost, or like Tylenol, like this was such a headache but we survived kind of thing, because he talks about the three caps that they were trying to take at the end and the cup, and it's like it almost feels like, is it a rescue mission, is it You know, I'm not really sure. There's so much in that song that you have to kind of get behind and figure out.
I think you kind of hit it there. I think it is, at least in part, maybe not a narrative, but definitely out of experience from the Ukraine. I think that's what he's touching on. That was without even knowing, I didn't even know that this was about a band. Like, I don't know if you had backstory on that already, but like just listening to it, I got a feel that we were talking about the Ukraine. So I think that totally vibes.
Yeah, because he says they're playing in Pentecost is a holiday 50 days after Easter. So here goes Craig with his Easter again. And I guess I was looking and it's big in all those countries, like the Ukraine, all those European countries, they have something for that. So,
right.
Yeah.
So just to give you my two favorites, right now, it's definitely Grand Junction, and I'm stuck on Birdwatchers because I don't know what's happening in that song. I'm like listening to it, and there's more than what meets the eye to it for sure, and there's a lot of ideas running through my head, but if I say them, they're going to sound crazy right now, so I need to like unpack it more. And it's songs like that that I love most about the whole setting, like when you have to really decipher the story.
Well, I'll say my crazy thing is the Birdwatcher and Undercover Cop is what I think is what's going on there, because he starts laughing at the end, and he says, did you think something that'd be so beautiful could turn twisted? Like, he's making fun of this scene that they're in.
I don't know if they're like, is this a cult or like... It almost sounds like they ran away to a cult. At first, it seemed like it was about a drug deal, but it's clearly not. And I don't know what this is. I got to spend more time with it, but well, I am digging it.
And since you all picked two, then I have to throw Flyover Halftime in then as my other one. And I will say the story and the lyrics about the guy watching the game after the pregame and like going in a little tipsy, like we've all been there. Like we've all been to an event where it's like, all right, and then a bad call happens and nothing drives you more and you want to jump over the rail and kind of like right the wrong. And here's a story of a guy who does that. Like, doesn't like the call, 10 seconds left. He picks up the ball, he runs to the end zone, and there's his asshole friends like, oh, let's get it on film. And meanwhile, that guy's going to get arrested, banned from the stadium. But like, it's funny and it's a great moment in the thing. It even happened yesterday at opening day of baseball. I think some guy jumped on the field at the Dodgers to try and propose. And I'm just like, he got on a knee and the security guy just levels him. And like, I don't know if that was yesterday, but I saw this video clip in my feed today. I'm like, come on, what made you think that was a good idea? But now here's a song that literally tells that exact same thing of like, you cross the line. And as a guy who works a field, Mike, I'm sure you're not a fan of that. But like, as a listener, I was like, that's pretty cool. Go guy.
I like the way Craig, when he says he's plotting a stunt for the timeline, I'm like, is that what life's about now? We're plotting how we're going to show up on our social media, something great for our timeline, you know? And the beginning of the song really reminds me, because sometimes I'll go to a Vikings, usually I try to go once a year to a Vikings road game. And he said, we got to the parking lot a couple hours early to check on the enemy and make sure we are fortified. So I like the word fortified. It means, you know, is there a lot of, you know, from your team there? But fortified could also mean like drinking, right? I mean, like fortified wine or whatever. So I like the way the double use of that line. But it just reminds me of when I go to Hold Steady concerts now, you know, we're going to these other cities, and it just reminds me of tailgating, because you show up to the bar where all the fans are and everybody's wearing their team colors. I mean, Hold Steady doesn't have team colors, but everybody's wearing their merchandise, their t-shirts. So kind of, it feels like tailgating to sports. And Gaspar, I know you don't follow sports, but that's what it feels like to me. I don't know.
So while we're diving into lyrics, and I know we said we weren't going to get too deep into this record, but I wanted to bring something up.
I feel like we already are. I was like, we're kidding.
But so me and Mike were talking a little bit before we got on air. And if you remember, when we interviewed Steve Selvidge, we had asked him if he had ever been referenced on a Hold Steady song or if there was a reference forthcoming.
I was going to ask you, We had Mosh Pit Josh on, and we asked him this question, you know, because Craig came up with the lyric, this toast is gross because somebody associated with the band said it like 4 years ago or something. And then
decades ago.
Yeah, decades ago. So then we asked Mosh Pit Josh if he ever had any lyrics ever show up about him in a song, and he said he didn't think so. I was going to ask you the same thing. Is there any song lyrics that like or something you said or something you inspired or from the Hold Steady?
You know, I don't know. I mean, because Craig can spin it one of a number of ways. So you think you know something. He's like, no, actually, it's this and that. I will say on our new record, there is something, but I won't tell you because you have to wait till the record comes out.
All right. So now, having listened to the record, did we pick up on the reference, or do you think you've picked up on the reference?
I think I did.
All right. So Mike, you go first.
Well, so with the writing credits, Steve only had one writing credit where it's Craig and Steve, and Carlos is crying. And then we had the line in the song, you had a screamer with trackers and OJs, and I had a Steadham with bones and a dome tail. So, and if you remember, Steve was talking quite a bit about, he said dome tail quite a bit when he's talking about his skateboards and stuff, and we all know how he is with guitars. So I think, you know, it's just a very, I don't even know what those half those words mean, but I think it's a reference to him, either the guitar or the skateboard or both, because they're just so right. Precise.
See, now we before we got on air, we said we weren't going to tell each other what we thought the reference was because we wanted to see if we had the right thing. And that's 100% what I was going to say. And just to kind of take it a little further, if you go back and listen to the episode with Steve, prior to us asking that question, he was telling us a story about how names develop and how he comes up with names. And he was naming a particular track on the Mimods record and saw his skateboard on the wall, which has a dome tail. And he specifically tells us the story about the dome tail. And then we had asked him that question. So I definitely think that's the reference that he's talking about. But there you go. Mystery solved.
Kevin, to talk. But I just wanted to say, That might be my favorite line on the album. I know I put it on one of our promos, but it said in that song, Carlos is crying, it said, how did we get here? We started as skaters. I just think that's a total hold steady line.
So I have a different favorite for lyrics, which actually comes from Birdwatchers, which is a song I don't really know what it's about. But at first we were suspicious, but we drank ourselves complicit. Like I love
that's
that line.
That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yes, me too.
All right, so any final thoughts before we tell everybody our plans for next episode?
There was something, I'm just looking it up real quick, and we can fix this in the post. There was something I read on Instagram that Craig had put out. Oh, here it is. Today we released A Price of Progress, the 9th studio LP by The Hold Steady. Albums take a long time to come together, from conception to manufacture, so we are psyched to finally have it at the finish line and to turn it over to the listeners. I think this is maybe the most all-current record we've done. The songs all live in this particular era and deal with some of the challenges we face with technology, communication, and economics. The people in these stories take big swings because they can't see small steps adding up to anything. Modern problems. Which is really an interesting outlook, especially when we were talking about songs like Distortions of Faith and feeling like it's talking about a war and, you know, even the guy jumping the rail to pick up the ball to score the touchdown that his team can't do. Like, it's interesting that that's how Craig phrases it, that these people are taking big swings. And the record is full of people taking big swings, just, you know, whether it's in the understudies or, you know, Carlos is crying. Like, everybody's story is so grandiose. Almost, it's like another level in some ways on this record. And it feels like that was deliberate on their end.
All right, so that's our initial take on the record, and we definitely want to dive into this a lot more. We're going to put out an episode in about a week, and it's going to be a full review episode. It'll be a long-form episode, but what we really want to accomplish is we want to get your input. So you've heard us talk about SpeakPipe before, and we're gonna do a big push for it now, because this is how we're going to get the your participation, the audience participation in our review. So if we could just ask you to head over to our link tree, which is linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap. When you get there, there'll be a button that says SpeakPipe. Push it. It'll bring you right to our SpeakPipe. And you can leave us a message. The message could be 30 seconds to up to 5 minutes. And you could say whatever you like. You could tell us what you think about the record. You could talk about a specific song. You could just tell us what you ate for lunch, if you like. We promise we will use every recording that we get, and we definitely want you to be part of this episode. So please head over there. Again, it's linktree, linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap, and you're looking for our SpeakPipe, and give us your thoughts. And while you're on our linktree, you can catch all our social media, you can find all our episodes, you can find old episodes, and we'd really love it if you subscribe.
Yeah, the Linktree has all of our socials, but even if you go to Twitter, the Linktree is there. So if the address that Gaspar just read got by you, you don't have to rewind. You don't have to get a pen and paper. Just go to anything that features the Hood Rat Recap, and you'll see our Linktree, and that'll take you right to the SpeakPipe. And we look forward to hearing your thoughts on this album. Do you agree with our initial Flashcast take? Do you not disagree? Tell us we're wrong. This is the worst record they've done. Tell us this is the best thing since whatever. We just want to know how you feel, and do you feel like we feel? Because regardless, we're all excited. There's a new piece of Hold Steady music out for us to get into, and we wanted to get this out ASAP so we can get your thoughts and then get deeper into it next week when we really have all had a chance to live with this album.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us, and we'll see you in about a week's time. We hope to hear from you. And I'm Gaspar, that's Kevin, that's Mike, and us guys, and especially all you guys, we are all the Hood Rat Recap.